But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. I believe we've come to a place in understanding that Jesus did not come here to reestablish or to establish a new religion. Can we all agree with that? Amen? That's why He and the Pharisees were having such a difficult time. He was establishing or reestablishing the authority and power of God upon the earth while they thought that He was going to be a religious leader. Just not happening. And so what we have seen through this, that Jesus has given clear to the church, not just to men and women of God, but to the church, one priority. And that priority is to seek Him and His kingdom and His righteousness so that you can work for everything else. Right? No? Oh. What the? My Bible? Oh, yeah. Giving. That's right. Giving. God's a giver. He's not an Indian giver. He is a giver. Right. And so what we have to come to understand is that we are now at a place where we understand our roots. And this root has to come to a place to understand that being in Jesus Christ is where we access the grace of God. And only being in Jesus Christ can you access that. And too many believers think that they can be outside of Jesus Christ and access all their privileges and benefits of the kingdom. But I'm sad to tell you, that just does not work that way. When we look at this verse, some of us may even think that there are two priorities within this thing. Seek God and His kingdom and seek His righteousness. But there is only one. And as we have learned through the months, that one priority is that it is God and His kingdom. He cannot be separated from His kingdom. Who God is His kingdom. And His righteousness is just a description of how His kingdom operates. Amen? And so there is a place where we must be confided and confronted in that only righteous people will be in His kingdom. Amen? And so this may seem very remedial to you today, but I want to have you understand that it is a very important place that we come to grasp and understand what our Christianity is all about. Amen? If you would turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21. There is only one priority, there is not two. We cannot earn our way into the kingdom. Ken. We cannot earn our way into the kingdom. We cannot do good works. We can't get God's favor. Just put it up and hold it up. There's nothing we can do. Ephesians 2:9 tells me, it is not of works, it is of faith, a free gift from God. Just stand there. Stand back. Yeah, so you don't go... Okay. How do we... This is God's righteousness, okay? This example, hopefully it'll be a good example for you guys. Actually, stand right here, Ken. This illustration of the umbrella, and Ken is God, so to speak. He is not God, but, you know, God dwells in him, so he's close. All of us, Romans tells us, all of us has fallen short of the glory of God. That means we are unrighteous. Right? God's righteous. How do I get from being unrighteous to being righteous? No, you don't hand it over to me. You're God. You're God. How do we do this? We can't. We can't do righteousness. Righteousness isn't a thing that we do. It is a legal term of something already done. Righteousness is what God says to us in justification. You are righteous or declared not guilty because of what he has done on the cross. Amen? So when we hear the good news, because I'm unrighteous, I'm outside of this, but I want to get there. How do I get there? I have to hear about what Jesus did in a person's life. Jesus died on the cross, paid for my sins. And if I believe that he did that 2,000 years ago, and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm now made righteous because of what he has done. I now come under his umbrella of protection. I am now in the kingdom of God. That's a good thing. Thank you, Jesus. Do we see this? No, stand there. We're not done. You're going to be there for a couple weeks. This is only the beginning, folks. We have to understand that God came in the flesh. His name was Jesus. Still is. Only he lived a sinless life. He didn't commit sin. He didn't have any wrong thinking. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't speak wrong. And like I said, I can't go 30 seconds without doing something wrong. That's why I need Jesus. And so do you. And so do they. They need to know the truth, that it is not a religious activity that we come in and go out of Father's house as we feel like it. We are declared righteous because of what he has done, and God wants us there all the time. All the time. In the weeks coming, we'll be talking about how to access the benefits, how to operate in the power and authority that God has already given to you. But you have to be positioned properly in order to access those things. Amen? 2 Corinthians says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of Christ." Who's he? God. God made Jesus, made the body of Jesus to become sin for us, that we might become righteous in him. You see, too many believers, when I like to call them make believers, because they come in to Father's house, oh, hallelujah, praise God, and then we continue to live a sin-filled life outside. Well, nobody sees me. Baloney. God sees everything. He sees what you're doing. He sees what you're thinking. He hears everything that you and I do. So then there is no escape to those things. How do I get righteous? I must repent. And repentance is not just a one-time thing. Repentance is a lifestyle, folks. It is not crawling on glass and going up the mountainside and flagging our backs and hoping that stuff. Righteousness is acknowledging that we are sinners before God. We're agreeing with God that, you know what, my life is messed up. I need God. And when I agree with God, I repent. I turn away. It's a change of mind. It's a change of the way we're thinking. And the world has crept into our thinking, and we're saying, I don't have to do that. You're still dead in trespasses and sin. You are still unrighteous. And that's how God sees us. When I believe in Jesus Christ and I turn my life over, immediately I enter into his kingdom. My allegiance is no longer to the world. My allegiance is to the King who died and gave himself for me. And thereby, the longer I stay under this umbrella, the more I implement the rules and regulations of the kingdom, the more righteous I become in him. Because it's his righteousness that now is flowing in me. Remember we said that Seek first the kingdom of God. And that basically is seeking His power and authority. His power and authority. To overcome sin and to do the will of God. Amen? But you know what? You can think you have power and authority and God not know you. You know that? You can be positioned in Christ and not have any power or authority. Why? Because we're constantly coming in and out and we think that God is okay. You know, God loves me. God will wink at my sin. Well, if you don't repent, you're still out here. Righteousness places me in a position that I am right with God. I am in right standing with God. And when I'm seeking God, I'm seeking His power and authority, and I am seeking to be in right position with God. Why? So I can overcome the devil. Jesus overcame him. Now He gives me power and authority to overcome sin in my life. But I must be positioned in order to do that. If I'm out here and I'm saying, I got the power and authority in the name of Jesus, the devil will just laugh at you and kick your face in and say, what are you kidding me? Remember the story of the sons of Sceva when they went in to try to cast out the demons out of the demon-possessed guy? Remember? In Acts? And they go, we cast you out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And what happened to them? But you, dude, I don't know you. They thought they had power and authority, but they were not in position to exercise it. Do you see this? And this is why so many Christians are not successful in overcoming sin. Because they think they could come and go to Father's house. Come with me to my Father's house. It's a big, big place with a big, big yard. All your adrenaline, right. You've been to creation. But it's not true. As long as you separate. And how do we separate? We stay unrighteous. We stay in sin. God says, come to me. I will wash your sins away. Though they be red as crimson, I will make them as white as snow. And stay with me. Come, let us reason together. Father doesn't want you to go out there unprotected. Because as long as I'm in there and I listen to Him, He goes with me. If I pray for somebody that's sick in the name of Jesus, I have the power and authority because I'm positioned properly. As long as I stay in position with Him, I am under His covering, under His protection in the name of Jesus. To him who believes, all things are possible. I am not preaching heresy. I am preaching something that is so remedial that the church has forgotten. And we think that if we stand outside of that, God's going to honor us. All God's going to do is let you get your butt whooped on. Look at your lives. Why do you think I spent so much time on priorities? Because if your priority is not seeking God and His kingdom and His righteousness, all you're doing is an exercise of futility. If you want success, you need to position yourself in success. And you've heard me say, well, you know what? Say the word. Preach it. Say it. But you've got to be positioned. You've got to be enthroned, empowered by Him. We are ambassadors. But if you are living unrighteous, how are you going to represent the King of righteousness? Let that one sink in a little bit. Righteousness. Stay there, Ken. You're not going anywhere. It is a matter of being in right position and forsaking your previous life. And that's what baptism is all about. Baptism is a public declaration that you are dying to yourself. You are going to identify yourself in Jesus Christ. Baptism isn't the sprinkling of water upon a child's head and thinking that they're saved. That's a ritual. Baptism is making a consorted confession with your mind, understanding the truths of where you are positioned right now and where you want to be positioned, and what you identify in, your lifestyle will reflect that. And too many Christians reflect a lifestyle contrary to their profession of faith, and they're wondering why God isn't blessing them. I love Malachi. I love it. Malachi 2:10. You have robbed me. You're a thief. You're unrighteous. Why? Because we withhold from God what's His. And I love this conversation I had with Holly. I pay my tithes. I said, you can pay your tithes. I give my tithes to God. I love Him so much, I give back to Him. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? And we have this dissertation, and she goes, that is so wonderful. I'll give my tithes to God. Okay, cool. Now you position yourself to receive the blessings, to exercise the privileges and the power that comes along in being Jesus Christ. Can we see this? But we're kind of like this fringe element. You know, as long as I got half of me in here, half my mind is into that, you know, God looks, no way. You set yourself up, according to Hebrews 10:25. You set yourself up to find yourself in the hands of an awesome God. And what we do is we trivialize what He has truly done for us. On the cross, He paid for your sins. He who knew no sin became sin. He who knew no sin, Jesus didn't know sin. But He experienced your punishment and my punishment on the cross, that He should have righteously destroyed us. But because God so loved the world, He gave His Son on my behalf and your behalf to become sin, so that whosoever believes may become sons and daughters of the Most High. Do you believe? This is your position. You must fight for this position. This is not a gimme. You have the power and authority to thwart off sin. You have the power. God has enabled you. As long as you maintain your position, once you are able to defeat the enemy in those areas, guess what else He empowers you to do? Go and preach the gospel. What has Jesus Christ done for you? What has He done? People need to hear what Jesus Christ has done for you. Jesus Christ saved me and my family. I rolled my car down an embankment and crushed it. Crushed it, compacted. It looked like one of those things that got smashed into a steel compactor. And we walked away from it. What has Jesus Christ done for you? Jesus Christ has redeemed my marriage. He has brought it back from the precipice of divorce, and He has brought it back to victory. What has Jesus Christ done for you? Jesus Christ has delivered me from the shackles of fear and drug addiction. Jesus Christ has done so much for me. Why do I not want to do for Him? I would not want to go back to that lifestyle. I would be crazy to come out of this protection and blessings and benefits and usurp the authority that He has given to me to want to go back out away from this. We're almost there. We're almost there. This is grace. This is grace. His unmerited favor for us. when I come out here and I'm willfully sinning, and God's Holy Spirit is convicting me of my sin, and I don't pay attention to what He's saying. You know, you need to get back here. Repent. This is not right. Get in line. The longer I stay out of it, the worse my condition becomes. Because not only am I invited to go back to what I had before, I invite the enemy to come and beat me up. It's like walking down a dark street. I throw a stone, I break the light out. I keep walking down the street, and the muggers come out and beat on me. I invite that to happen to me. But Pastor, you don't understand. Sin's hard. Where you are, I was. I understand completely. But righteousness is not something that we should just throw around and think that we can get away from it. Righteousness is our being. We move and live and have our being in Jesus Christ. Is that what the scriptures say? Then what business do we have coming out from His protection? When we move out of His protection, we are operating in His mercy. Understand what His mercy is. It's not getting what we do deserve. Judgment. Well, Pastor, you know, I've been fooling around, hooking up with this chick, you know, and nothing's happening to me. Pastor, I've been embezzling all kind of money from over here. And God, you know, God says, Pastor, I've been abusing my wife. Pastor, I've been... It's God's mercy that has not struck you down. As any parent, He will eventually punish you. What He is saying is, come back to me. Repent. Turn away from that sin. Come back to me. Stay in grace. Stay in my grace. Stay in my favor. Let me give you an illustration of that. I'm driving down the pike. I'm going to Walmart. Nice sunny day. Driving, I'm obeying the law. You know, I see a cop, wave to him. Everything's good, right? I'm obeying the laws. Okay? I live in this country. I obey the laws of this country. Right? Let's flip it around. I'm driving down the road. I'm drunk as a skunk. I'm speeding down the road, and I'm swerving all over the place to Walmart. I'm cutting people off. Next thing I know, I see this same patrolman coming up the opposite way. What happens? My pulse rate increases. I begin to perspire. I try to get myself together, right, and pretend that I'm with it. And that officer goes by. I don't wave to him. Why? I don't want to draw attention to myself. Why? Because I know I broke the law. I know I broke the law. What does Jesus want from us? He wants us to not drive like that condition. We are kingdom people. He wants us to obey His laws, which are higher than the laws of this world. Well, Pastor, you know, I don't know why you get so upset when I do this stuff. Because you don't realize what you're doing to yourself. You don't realize what you're doing to everybody else that is around you. You don't even realize what you're doing to the church of Jesus Christ. Your sin will inhibit God's perfect work in you, in your family, and in the church. And as I told you, we have a destiny. I'm about Father's business because I want to see that destiny. I want to stand before Him in His grace and in His glory and hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Isn't that your desire? Or is your desire to just, that's old wives' tale. I'm going to do what I want to do. Those are your decisions. And it is reflected by your life. Your involvement in things that you shouldn't be involved in. Your separation from the body of Jesus Christ. We are exhorted in Hebrews. We are exhorted in there to tell them that as the day grows darker, do not stop fellowshipping one with another. right? And then we get indignant when people who love us and care for us are wondering what we're doing in our lives. Oh, you don't have to worry about it. I got everything under control. No, you're out of control and you just haven't realized it yet. Isaiah 64:5 says, or 64:6 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. As long as we maintain this position outside, we are unrighteous. It doesn't matter what we do or say. And like I said to you before, you can call yourself a Christian, but I look at your life. I look at the fruit that's being produced. And if I don't see fruit, I'm wondering why. God wants to produce something. So obviously, to me, it's very simple. You have moved out from God's covering. God wants you to come back. The only way that you can come back is repent. Get it under the blood and forsake it. Get into His grace. Be enthroned in His grace. Let it permeate your spirit. Let it fill you up. You know, this stuff is going to pass away. What He's given to us is eternal. Why would anybody throw eternity away? You don't understand. I'm afraid. Of what? If God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm not minimizing. Fear is a real spirit. But we got authority over it as long as we're in position. Amen? It's your choice, church. We can either be seeking the divine priority for our lives, or we can be seeking our unrighteous priorities. We can make all kinds of excuses. When God has brought us into a position of authority, that must take precedent over anything and everything. He is far more important. And I must get my life right with His life. Remember the prophets, the plumb line and the measuring line? Until I get this right, this is going to fall apart. And we're too busy trying to get this plumb line situation right when we are totally out of line with God. And we're wondering why, when we testify what God's doing, it's like words that just fall to the ground. I exhort you today, church. I exhort you that if you're out of position, get into position. Get into position. We are an army. And no army is out of position. When they are trained, the military trains them, they put them into position in columns, they have a job to do, and they do it. It doesn't matter what's going on in the sports world. It doesn't matter if Britney Spears has re-dyed her hair and become something. It doesn't matter what's happening in the Olympics. And it definitely doesn't matter what's going on in my family if I am out of order, if I am not in right position. It doesn't matter if the sun's shining or it's raining or it's cold or it's hot. It doesn't matter. A military person doesn't worry about what's going on the outside. He's worried about accomplishing that which what he was commissioned to do. And church, what are we commissioned to do? To go and preach the gospel. And that's simply sharing your life, being in position, using the power and authority that comes with that position, and listening to what the King is telling us to do for His glory. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you for today, Lord. It's a very simple lesson, but God, I pray that our eyes are open today, Lord. Father, I just pray that your righteousness, God, would continue to spread upon our hearts, God, that we would fully operate and move in your grace, Father. God, this end time move that you have going for us, God, I pray for your church to arise and shine, God. I pray, Father, that we would position ourselves in such a way to be totally used by you. And only you, God. That, God, we would no longer give our bodies to serve unrighteousness. But, God, we would submit ourselves to you. Resist the devil. and then chase after him to take back the land that he has stolen from us, God. God, we have been created to have dominion, and that dominion is found in Jesus Christ. I thank you for your church, God. I thank you for the ears that have listened, God. Bless their comings and goings today, God. Bless their week. And may they position themselves in a way that you can use them, God. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.